إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All thanks and praise are due to Allah, who we thank, seek for help, and invoke for forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils within ourselves. He who Allah guides will never be misled, and he who misguides will never find one to guide him. Are there witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger? يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. For you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in the state of Islam. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear him, and speak always the truth. He will direct you to the righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved great achievement. Dear brothers and sisters, today is the first day of Ramadan. We have been talking about Ramadan for the past few weeks. I'd like to approach it from a slightly different angle today. Now, Islam is a religion that guides human beings in the life and in the hereafter. It achieves a fine balance between body and soul. It is the midway path between two extreme philosophies, the extreme philosophy of materialism and the other extreme, the absolute mysticism. Today, the materialistic philosophy that controls the world preaches that you should live for today and seek pleasure, feeding the body part of the human being only. But it is human nature that once a peak of pleasure is achieved, it will seek to find a new height. To this, God addresses this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hijr, where he says, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيَلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Leave them to eat and enjoy, and let them be preoccupied with false hope. They will come to know. And in Surah Muhammad, it says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَهُمْ. While those who disbelieve enjoy themselves and eat as cattle do, and the fire will be their abode. So there is a price to pay for absolute materialism. On the other extreme, some people have gone to try and suppress the body needs and desires as a means of elevating the soul, but at the expense of the body. This is unnatural and leads to problems. There is a famous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with three of his companions. He knew that three of his companions have agreed. One of them had agreed to fast every day. The second had agreed to promise to pray all night and not to sleep. And the third had promised not to get married. The Prophet asked him to come to him, and he told them, "Inni asumu wa aftar wa usalli wa anam wa atazawwaju nisa. Man raiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Prophet says, "I fast, and I eat, and I pray, and I sleep, and I marry women. This is my way. Whoever deviates from my way, is not of me. Thus, Islam caters for both body and soul. It respects both, and this leads to harmony and happiness by attending to the body needs within set boundaries. In the hadith, in Bukhari, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَالْبِسُوا وَتَصَدَّقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ إِسْرَافٍ فَلَا مَخِيَلَ. Eat, drink, wear good clothes, give charity without overindulgence or show. If we take it as an example of our own prayer, when we get ready to pray, we cleanse our bodies by washing and ablutions, wudu. And then we cleanse our souls by bowing and prostrating to God. The earthly body is the vehicle needed for life on this earth, but the human being's real value is in his soul. In Surah Sa'd, God says, وَإِقَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When your Lord said to the angels, truly I'm going to create man from clay. So when I have fashioned him and breathed into him soul, that is, and breathed into him soul, then you fall down prostrate to him. So the order to prostrate to Adam was after the soul was blown into him, signifying that although a human being is body and soul, it is the latter part that is the source of novelty in man. There are three types of human beings. Those who constantly remember and know who blew the soul into their body, and those who forget, and these need to be reminded, and those who deny the existence of a creator who blew the soul, and these have a serious problem. God says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. O man, what made you careless about your Lord, the most generous, who created you, fashioned you perfectly, and gave you due proportion, in whatever form he willed, he puts you together. So Ramadan is a month in the year for performing maintenance, to re-establish the balance. It's like rebooting the system, like you reboot your computer, to re-establish this balance between body and soul. It weakens the control of the body, the nafs, over the soul. And it addresses the balance between body nourishment versus soul nourishment. That's freeing the soul from the body control. It weakens sexual drive and strengthens self-control. And it also strengthens the social interaction and mixing amongst the pious people. The hadith, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, كُلُّ عَمَلُ ابْنِ آدَمْ لَهِ إِلَّا الصَّوْمَ بَهْوَلِي وَأَنِي أَجْزِي بِهِ. فَإِنْ كَانَ يَمُّ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثُ وَلَا يَسْقَطُ وَلَا يَجْهَدُ إِنْ شَتَمَهُ أَحَدٍ أَوْ قَاتَلُهُ قَالَ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَخَيُّهُ فَهُ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ الْمِسْكِ وَلِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرْحَةً إِذَا أَفْطَرَ وَفَرْحَةً إِذَا لَقِيَ رَبَّهُ. This was narrated in Bukhari. The hadith essentially highlights what fasting is all about. It's not about abstaining from food and drink only. It is about self-control and about the ability not to lose your temper. If anybody is to insult you or do you wrong, all what you need to say, inni sa'imun, inni sa'im. It's not easy, but this is part of the ritual. So fasting really comes at three levels. There is the fasting of the commoners, Sawm al-Awam, and this is abstaining from food and drink. And this is the absolute minimum, or as the scholars say, yusqat al-fariida. However, there is a second level of fasting, Sawm al-Khawas, the fasting of the special people who understand. And that's fasting of all senses. That's fasting of the eyes, of the ears, of the hands, and of the tongue. So you would not harm anybody, you would not allow your eyes to look at anything that does not please God, you will not allow your ears to hear anything that displeases God, etc. There is the highest form of fasting, where it is described as Sawm Khawas al-Khawas. That's the fasting of the specials of the specials. And that's the fasting of the heart, where you should not allow your heart to be preoccupied by anything but God. Now let's examine the ayat of fasting that are present in the Quran. And they start with ayah 183 in Surah Al-Baqarah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ فَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become muttaqeen. We have discussed this in the previous khutbah, and this highlights immediately the purpose of fasting. The purpose of Ramadan is to achieve taqwa. Goes on in ayah 184 to say, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Fasting is of a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number from other days. And for those who can afford it, there is ransom. That's the feeding of a poor person. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him. And to fast is better for you if you only knew. The next is ayah 185, which says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منه الشهر فليصم وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. In this ayah, God explains that the reason why Ramadan is a very special month, it is just like any other month, had it not been that the month of Ramadan is that which the month in which Quran was revealed as a guidance for mankind. The significance of mentioning this within the ayat of the Siyam, ayat of fasting, is highlighting the importance of Quran, especially during the month of Ramadan. Quran, reading Quran is very important during this month, and hence the importance of bringing this ayah in the middle of the ayat. The next ayah is ayah 186. And it's very interesting that all of a sudden it's almost diverged to a different meaning altogether, where God says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And when my servants ask you concerning me, I am indeed near. I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me, so that they may be led aright. Now this is very interesting in the sequence. Why is this ayah in the sequence of ayat al-Siyam? Because in ayah 187, after that, he goes back to discussing the Siyam, discussing the Ramadan and the fasting. And this signifies the importance of dua, of supplication. It is very important to use the month of Ramadan for supplication as much as you can. In the hadith, Prophet Muhammad said,
If a fasting person makes a request at the time of iftar, his request shall be granted. So another important point, another thing that needs to be addressed during the month of Ramadan. The next ayah is ayah 187, where it says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْكُمْ فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَاكْتَبُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. The translation of this, it is made lawful for you to have sexual relations with your wives on the night of the fasting. They are the best cover for you, and you are the best for them. Allah knows that you used to deceive yourself, so He sent to you in mercy and forgiveness. So now have sexual relations with them, seek that which Allah has ordained to you, and eat and drink until the white thread of dawn appears to you distinct from the black thread. Then complete your fast till nightfall, and do not have sexual relations with them while you are in i'tikaf. Allah so approach them not. Thus does Allah make clear His ayat signs to mankind, they may become muttaqin. So it's important here again to notice what the ayat almost seems to be a repetition of the previous ayat, but it is highlighting the importance of body and soul, the importance of giving your body all its needs from food, drink, sexual desires, etc., but highlighting that it should be within boundaries. The next ayah, which is ayah 187, highlights a different form of fasting, where it says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not eat up your property among yourselves unjustly, and seek by it to gain the hearing of a judge, that is bribery, that you may knowingly eat up a part of property of others wrongfully. So again, it is advising us to fast, but this time to fast from taking what does not belong to us, and advising against bribery. Now, these verses make it quite clear that fasting is obligatory. It explains the purpose of fasting. It explains to us how to fast. It explains to us how to achieve a balance between body and soul. And explains that fasting is a part of a whole, Iman, the concept of belief, and is a means to an end, not an end in itself. So what can we do to put into practice all these ideas and ensure that by the end of Ramadan we have achieved al-taqwa? If you remember, we said the first ayah that God says the purpose of fasting, the purpose of Ramadan is to achieve taqwa. How can we put this into practical application? I have suggested 10 points, which I call 10 points for quality assessment and improvement during the month of Ramadan, which I'll discuss in the second part of my talk. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.
Thank
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، النعمة المهداة والرحمة المزداة والسراج المنير. أما بعد، I'd like to very quickly suggest 10 points that we might try and take care of during the month of Ramadan. I have put it in the format of a simple thing that we can all check. The idea that if we check this format, try to mark every day, see what we have done and what we have not done. Hopefully, by continuously checking this, by the end of Ramadan, we will be able to achieve more and more, and probably be able to achieve the purpose of the month, which is Taqwa. The 10 points that I propose is point number one, to start Ramadan with a Tawbatul Nasuha, with the asking God for forgiveness, and then repeating this every night. Now, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has informed us that for this repentance to be accepted by God, it's got to have four parts to it. One, al-iqla' anid dhanb, you must give up doing whatever you are repenting from. Number two, an-nadam 'ala ma fa'al, you must repent, you must feel sorry for whatever you have done. Number three, al-'azma 'ala 'adam al-'awda, you must be determined not to return to whatever sin you've been doing. And number four, if the sin is in relation to another human being, you must make it good for him or for her. So I suggest we all start Ramadan by the true repentance to Allah. The second is to have a clear intention to fast for the sake of Allah, and try to upgrade our level of fasting. We discussed the levels of fasting. We said that there's a fasting that's just abstaining from food and drink. That's the minimum, absolute bare minimum, but there are higher levels. Try to get your senses to fast. Try to abstain from harming anybody. Try to control your eyes, your tongue, your ears. And if you can, you might be able to elevate to the higher level, sawmu khawas al-khawas, the fasting of the special, the fasting of the heart. Try to watch your heart. Try to remember Allah all the time. And if you can't remember Him all the time, try to make most of your time a remembrance to Allah. The third point I propose is da'wah ila Allah. That's calling to the way of Allah. So set a good example for good manners and hard work during the month of Ramadan. This is the best form of da'wah. If we set a good example, people are going to ask questions, and this is a very good opportunity to reply. So we should learn about ways to explain to non-Muslims the purpose of fasting as an opening to the explanation about Islam as a whole. For students in particular, you must work and study harder during this month to set the proper example. The fourth point is to watch yourself and spend 10 minutes a day, preferably during your bedtime, recalling the deeds of the day, and renew your tawbah, renew your repentance, and plan for the next day. Think about things that you might have done during the day which are not quite right, maybe not up to standard, and how to improve it, and try to plan an improvement on the next day. So it's an ongoing process of self-assessment and improvement. Fifth point is prayer. Fara'id, these are the obligatory prayers, need to be done on time. If you can do them in the mosque, it would even be better. Nawafil, these are the sunan, and they're about 12 per day with your regular prayers. And then there is the night prayers, the taraweeh, which you can pray in groups or at home, but preferably in a group. And remember that God says, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi wa ma ta'akhkhar." Whoever gets up at night and prays during Ramadan for the sake of Allah, he will be forgiven all his sins. The sixth point is dua, supplication. Supplication should be from the heart, and it should be for yourself, for your family, and for Muslims as a whole. It might be a good chance during Ramadan to learn some of the supplications that Prophet Muhammad used, such as the dua of leaving your house in the morning, getting into your car, there's a dua, going at work, in the market, there is a dua, there are several prayers. It would be nice if you can use Ramadan to try and learn some of them. The next point is reading of the Quran. And as we highlighted in the talk, Quran has been revealed during Ramadan, and this is what gives Ramadan its special meaning. So you should try to read Quran. If you can, you should try to read the whole of the Quran during the month of Ramadan at least once, if you can. But more important than just reading, you should try to think about the meanings of the Quran. And if you cannot understand the meanings, it would be worthwhile spending some time reading the explanation of the meanings of the Quran. And it would be a good chance to try and learn how to read Quran properly. Because reading Quran properly is a must for every Muslim, regardless of whether he speaks Arabic or not. So it's a good chance to try and learn how to read properly. And a very good way to do that is to listen to Quran a lot. Listening to Quran, you take thawab, and also you learn how to read properly. And finally, if you can spend some time to memorize a few surahs, it would be great. The next point is charity. A lot of Muslims try to pay their zakat during Ramadan, which is great, but they should also try to pay sadaqat, that is obligatory charity, and that zakat, and the non-compulsory charity, which is sadaqat. And remember the hadith of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when he says, "Man farraja al-mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya, farraja Allahu anhu kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever helps a believer to get out of a problem in the lifetime, God is going to help him to get out of a problem on the day of judgment. So go out there, look for people in trouble, look for people who need help, and try to help them. You will take a lot of thawab doing that. We don't do that because we are so busy during the year, but at least during Ramadan, take some time to try and meet it. The next point is Salatul Arham. That is asking and being on good terms with your family, especially the parents, brothers and sisters. And most important are people from your family who you haven't been in touch with for a long time. So make a point of calling your relatives. Phone them, visit them, text them, email them. Just do it with the niyyah of getting thawab. It will not take a lot of time from you, but you will get a lot of thawab for it. The final and tenth point is timekeeping and pacing yourself. Make sure that you do not lose time during Ramadan. Ramadan is only 29 or 30 days. They are very, very precious days. So look after your timekeeping. Look at how you spend your time day in and day out. Make sure that you do not waste time during Ramadan. Now, I've printed some of these. I've printed a few copies here. You're free to take them if you want. And what I propose is, if you want to do that, just tick every item every day and try to improve. So hopefully, if we do that day in, day out, by the end of Ramadan, we would have improved our ibadah as a whole. We would have improved ourselves as a whole. And hopefully, we would have been able to boost our system and achieve the perfect balance between body and soul. اللهم اغفر لنا ولأمة نبينا مغفرة عامة وارحمنا وارحم أمة نبينا محمدا رحمة عامة رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم يا جامع الناس اليوم لا ريب فيه اجمعنا بنبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما جمعت بين الجسد والروح وصل اللهم وسلم على بارك وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله دائما وأبدا اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وأعطيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد به نبيك ورسولك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما بعد عنها من قول وعمل ونسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والجبن والبخل والهرم وعذاب القبر وفتنة الدجال. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. اللهم فارج الهم وكاشف الغم ومجيب دعوة المضطرين. رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحمها. ارحم أمة حبيبك برحمة تخشاها بها. تغنيها بها عن رحمة من سواك. حسبنا الله لا إله إلا هو توكلنا عليه وهو رب العرش العظيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.